This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Smarks and Stripes. We are back with you today, and we are here to talk about all things All Elite Wrestling. We have to start with this just absolutely insane media tour, I guess, now that he's done both Talk Is Jericho and Wade Keller's podcast that the former Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, has been on. And let's just first get to introductions. Of course, my name is Bill Matz. I am joined by former WWE official Kevin Keenan.
You're going to have to change that shirt eventually.
I was looking. He only has one out last night. I didn't love it, so, you know.
What's he on, pro wrestling tees already?
Yeah, pro wrestling. Of course,
this,
yeah.
This guy's going to make a man.
Oh, he wants $30 for it. It's already in their top sellers. He's going to make his downside on damn pro wrestling tees.
In a month.
With people who've never seen him, like, as Mox. That's going to be the best
fantastic
part.
Fantastic. Good for him.
And, of course, Eric the Turtle Golden.
Yeah. I'm here.
It's just what he is. He's always
Turtle,
just kind of here.
I'm just kind of here.
Turtle can't wait to talk about Jon Moxley. I know it. So we'll just, I guess we have to start with the Jericho podcast.
We have to start with how this guy in 30 seconds is a bigger star in the wrestling business than he was during any of his tenure in the WWE.
That's the point. That is the main point here that I think it gets to everything else that he talks about in these podcasts and everything we talk about every week, how there's no, it doesn't seem like there's a way for a star to become that big, that next big. Like, can anyone, do you see a way for someone to become the next John Cena? Like, to even that level. Not even Stone Cold or everybody, John Cena, a guy who people recognize.
There's a path. But it's unfortunately not up to the individual.
Exactly. It's not up to the individual. It's something Moxley talks about a lot more in the Wade Keller interview. It's that, like, you know, I just want to go out and say what I want to say, and then they hand me, he talks about his first in-ring promo.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, yeah, they hand me a script, and I'm like, this is a suggestion. And after a 10-minute meeting, it's very obvious.
It's not a suggestion.
This is not a suggestion. Like, guys like Stone Cold, because he gets into that Stone Cold podcast he did that was a freaking disaster on the WWE Network. And, like, Austin's just sitting there like, I don't know, pal, go off script. He's like, yeah. And then my producer gets fired who has a mortgage and kids. Like, yeah, me, Dean Ambrose, I'm WWE champion. There's only so much they can do. But they're going to fire the guy whose job it was to tell me to stick to the script,
right.
And I don't want that. Like, it's just a different business.
I forgot about that. I'm going to have to go back and watch that again.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was. I was really hoping he would get into it with Jericho, and then it's like 2-hour-plus Wade Keller shows where they get into, like, your match with Brock at Mania. Why did that suck so bad? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, well, Brock didn't show up until, 3:30 on Sunday, and we never rehearsed, and every idea I had, he said, we don't need all that. that. Like, he was like, he would literally, he was like, I was going to let Brock literally kill me in the ring. Like, if he wanted to powerbomb me through fire and thumbtacks, like onto a spike, a strip of spikes, he could have done it. Right. He's like, we don't need all that. Like, he just wanted to take every crazy bump, and Brock just wanted to do
as little as
10
possible.
Suplexes.
Suplex and- City, you get your hands on a weapon, make a comeback, F5.
As little as possible, and making the most money, and it's just ridiculous.
Let's talk about how
smart by him, though. Moxley, just so we're being honest.
No, it's not.
Moxley says, I mean, it's smart it because he gets paid the same either way. But in terms of being a draw,
and they're going to bring him back, and they're going to give him more title runs. It doesn't matter.
It's if you're making the argument Dean Ambrose doesn't care.
No,
I mean,
no,
look at that.
No,
guy.
No, no. Yeah,
who said that?
No,
I just said. If somebody tells
people in the past have made the argument Dean Ambrose doesn't care. Paul Heyman's publicly buried him. Austin's publicly buried him. But you're going to sit there and fawn over Brock? Are you out of your mind?
Nobody's fawning over Brock. But if I told you you could work for 1 hour a day and make the same exact money you do for 4 hours a day, you're going to work 1 hour a day, correct?
Yeah, on Monday Night Raw, I will. And the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania, in front of a sold-out crowd, I'm going to go out and do a little more.
Yeah, and well, I mean, he had the title defense this year and was like, I'm not going on last, that means I'm going off first and I'm going home.
That I actually agree with. Good
I mean, that's
him.
Hilarious.
I mean, that's
that's just hilarious.
That's a great call, actually.
Yeah, but
and actually, probably a better way to start the show.
It really was. If you're going to do it that way, sure, why not? But let's get back to your point, Kevin, because I think it speaks to every other point. WWE has 5 hours of live network television every single week. They have a network that streams 24/7 mm-hmm. when they want. They have all these outlets, their social media, everything.
Mm-hmm.
With a 90-second video where he does not speak, and then an appearance on Chris Jericho's podcast, John Moxley, bigger star than Dean Ambrose.
He was a bigger star the minute he showed up in AEW.
Yeah, and just that moment that... Oh, man. Like, you had to have a little bit of... it's different, and the business is different.
I like the iron...
You had to have a little bit of Scott Hall twinge there. A little bit of, but you don't know why I'm here.
I like the irony in him coming through the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, just Shield style, I guess. I like, you know... You're getting fresh matchups right away. You're going to get him and Jericho. You're going to get him and Omega. And
I will say, like,
and it's right away, you were intrigued.
I was a big Dean Ambrose fan during his run in WWE. Chris Jericho, obviously an all-time great. Everybody loves Chris Jericho.
How can you not?
Their feud in WWE was not good. Their matches
were
terrible.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to them like making up for it, but I'm not at, like, man, those matches were bad. I was at that Extreme Rules up in Newark where they had the Ambrose Asylum cage match. It was just like a steel cage with a mop bucket attached to it, and like it was garbage, and there were like three great matches on that card. Those mm-hmm. are the two best performers other than like AJ Styles on the card. It was not one of them. I just small side note, but yes, we are getting fresh stuff right away, and if nothing else, I am so excited for the buzz out coming out of Double or Nothing and hearing what Ambrose, Moxley, whatever you want to call him, has to say about how this company is going to be run and the creative freedom the boys are going to have. If nothing else, I'm excited to see maybe this is yet another revolution.
There's pluses and minuses to that, the boys having the freedom that they want. There has to be a ceiling somewhere, and that's why, you know, AEW has brought in experienced producers like Arn Anderson and Dean Malenko. Billy Gunn, guys who have been there, done that, guys who have who have worked for the biggest company, who've played for the New York Yankees, essentially.
If you're going to run a two-hour live wrestling show, you should take from people who have experience running a two-hour live wrestling show.
Right, you're going to be screwed.
So those guys are going to be the ceiling, but as far as, you know, having to go storm Vince's office every week to get things changed or not have the ability to write your own promo or have a Hollywood... writer assistant give you a promo that speaks nothing to your character mm-hmm. or the story you're telling or anything like that. I don't think you'll see anything like that in AEW. This is where the guys are going to have more freedom. They're going to have more freedom to write their own stuff, to speak their own promos in their own words, as well as have the freedom to not necessarily have to run the whole match by an agent or a producer or anything like that, but not be confined to what they have to do.
Yeah, and that's something Ambrose spoke to about, just like having to clear every little. He talked about, like, with his Brock match, Brock just turned down every idea. By the time they got to something he actually liked, they didn't have time to, like, set it up, because it's WrestleMania. You have stunt coordinators and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Like, so they just didn't have time to set it up and all this. But Turtle and I talked off the air about Ambrose's character in WWE and how you just were never all that into it, especially post-Shield.
Yeah, and listen, he's a talented guy. I'm not knocking his talent. I'm not knocking his effort or anything like that. But the crazy guy, weird guy, I'm going to do whatever I want kind of guy, to me is just an old, boring thing. And that's good for him if it works.
He got to that in that... In having to read someone else's lines and do the prop comedy, as he called
Correct.
It. Like, he talks about his match with Brock. He's like, this is a match with Brock freaking Lesnar. I'm not one of these guys who you think might beat Brock. I'm going to my death. I come out a week before Mania pulling a little red wagon because I'm the crazy weirdo. Like, and it's like, yes, he just was never allowed to get to that level, and it speaks to this creative process where the guys don't have control over it. And I said off the air, counterintuitive. When was wrestling at its best? When the guys were just themselves cracking? How many of the best of all time do we have to hear? How many of the best of all time do we have to hear say, the best characters are you cracked up to 100?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's Mick Foley, whether it's Stone Cold, whether it's The Rock, like Jericho, all these guys that say it. And some, for some reason, the WWE business model is, we're going to do not that. Like, what is the thinking behind this?
So, I don't know what the thinking is, and Kevin can probably speak to that better than I, but my fear is, with all of this, if that's what AEW is going to be, well, then it can go horribly wrong with a lot of guys that don't know what they're doing just yet. If half of their show is whoever was in that Battle Royal, or whoever was in the first 3 to 5 matches or so on Double or Nothing, the unknown guys, or the little-known guys, if you have a... I'm just using Jungle Boy because he came out in my head. No disrespect to him.
I like Jungle Boy.
He's a fun little character, but nobody's really seen him. No, that can all go horribly wrong.
That's the point of AEW.
But yeah,
and that's fine.
But
it could all go horribly wrong, though, if you give somebody that's unexperienced that much leeway in whether it's matches or promos or whatever.
You know what I know goes horribly wrong? Having Apollo Crews go out there smiling. Like,
that's
okay,
true too.
Yeah, hey, everybody, happy to be here. And he's just not over. At least the boys now will have...
Now, look, here's the thing.
The right to fail on their own.
Guys that they know that can go out and do it are going to be the ones that are allowed to go out and do it.
Sure.
Jungle Boy's probably not one of them.
Right, and it just the name that popped in my head.
There's
going to
be an upper echelon at AEW.
Absolutely.
You're going to see that. Your Kenny Omegas, your Young Bucks, the guys who you think, Cody, MJF to a certain extent, the guys that you think are the ones.
And Kai and Tai didn't have as much leeway as Stone Cold during the Vince Russo.
Sure, correct.
Like, you know, it's just, sure, they probably were allowed to come up with ideas, and they pitched a bunch of ideas, and some of them maybe even used, but I doubt, you know, Takumi Shinoku's going out there cutting an Austin 316 promo at any point. They're telling him what he's doing.
Kai and Tai was great.
Oh yeah, that's what makes me so mad about WWE TV is you have all this time and none of the undercard is over. None of it.
Yeah.
Like, literally, there's, what, 6 guys who are top guys, and Drew McIntyre's already fading.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they didn't even strap the rocket to his back yet. It's just like, well, we didn't really do anything with him for 2 months because we didn't know what was up, and now
Jinder Mahal was the hottest thing this time 2 years ago.
Oh, my God, Jinder Mahal. I wanted to believe in that so
much. And now he's wrestling on a golf cart.
Yeah, now I... Why was he in his gear on the golf course?
I can logic that away in my mind.
Like,
he's ready to go.
If I'm coming to tee off on hole number 5, I'm not going to see some big Indian dude in his tights and boots.
No, in my mind, he's trying to catch R-Truth off guard, and he wants that title. So he's ready to go. So he's in his wrestling gear. So he is
Can't
stalking.
Do that in jeans?
So he is stalking Truth. No,
Ambrose did it in
gives
jeans?
Him an advantage.
Right.
He's in his gear, but Ambrose wrestles in jeans all the time.
I know.
So
I know.
Mahal is in his gear, ready to go, and as soon as he sees R-Truth at his most vulnerable, wherever it is, I actually don't have a problem with this.
No, I didn't have a problem. It was
stupid
funny.
And silly, but that's what it was going to be from the
beginning. I like that ultimate idea of like, it could be anywhere. Oh, they're just chilling on a golf course, sitting in a bar.
You have to have a ref with you, so it has to be premeditated.
Yeah.
So I want to see someone like kidnap a referee, like Kevin Keenan come out of retirement, like
hey, if they want to pay me,
Jinder Mahal dragging you around place to place, just waiting to run into somebody.
Let's call Matt Hardy,
stalking out every Waffle House.
Oh, Waffle House is great.
That's I wanted to mention Waffle House in this next question, Kev. We've heard all these complaints from Moxley now and everything, mm-hmm. and like my biggest takeaway from these interviews was, man, the stuff we talk about is true. It is Vince.
Yeah.
It is this process that stifles the wrestlers, the guys who really do feel themselves to be performance artists, don't get the chance to do it. When you're at Waffle House at 3 a.m., mm-hmm. and the guys are just sitting there shooting the shit, booking the territory,
mm-hmm.
are these the complaints? Is this the consensus?
Yeah. Yeah, because...
Is this what everyone wants?
Like, look, not for nothing. Dean Ambrose is a two-time failed WWE champion, and it's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's such a... It's crazy because Vince doesn't understand... He doesn't understand the world. He understands his bubble.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the bubble's like, so thick now.
No matter how many people are telling him, you know, Hunter's hip to what's going on. He mm-hmm. understands. He's...
Well, that's why NXT is the best product WWE has right now.
And he doesn't even listen to him. You know, I was speaking to somebody last week, last Saturday, and we were having a whole conversation about this whole thing, somebody within the company. And I said to them, I'm like, well, for me, the writers need to get cleaned house. Like, they just need to start over. You know, maybe Vince needs to go back to booking the shows at by his pool. You know, maybe just him and Bruce Pritchard. I don't know, but the writers need to go. And his answer was awesome. I never thought of it like this. He goes, the writers aren't the issue. He goes, they really aren't the problem. He goes, the writers are the catalysts,
yeah,
of course, but the end-all, be-all, and the final say is the old man.
And that's...
And he didn't say this, but I'm saying this. He is the problem.
Yeah, and that's... I've spoken to some people in the company as well who reiterate that thought. Like, we could have the best idea in the world. When you... go in there with 10 things and Vince hates all of them,
mm-hmm.
you start writing for Vince, not writing for making good television.
Right.
You start writing for Vince.
And you think
and
the
then
guy,
that's what happens.
And yeah. You think the guy who has the longest running weekly episodic television show in the history of television would by now, at one point he knew how to write good TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done it before. I don't understand where the wheels fell off.
He's an old man.
I kind of agree with Ambrose in the sense of around me, and I don't know when it was because it was already in place when I got there. This 2001, 2002, this structure that he began to, you know, he being Vince, began to surround himself with these writers and these teams and all this other stuff. It worked for a while, but when things start to fade off, man, you really got to change with the times, not dig yourself a deeper hole. And the emergence of AEW should, even though nothing's ever going to happen to Vince's business, he's always going to be there. The fact that fans are ratings and not for nothing, live events and everything else are declining at a rapid pace. And here comes this new company for the first time. And whether they were charging $50 for a pay-per-view or a stream or not, they got 100,000 buys on pay-per-view, which is going to make it the single most bought non-WWE pay-per-view in pay-per-view history. That's pretty eye-opening.
Really?
And it should be pretty eye-opening to the company.
Okay.
I didn't
realize it was that good. That's
awesome. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's eye-opening to the company. I don't know if it's eye-opening to Vince.
It's not going to be eye-opening to Vince,
told to me that people in WWE just kind of push AEW to the side. It is what it is. But there's other people who sell for it, too.
And that's... you could say the same thing about WCW. Like, they have Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan, and WWE's like, yeah, whatever.
They weren't whatever in 97, 98.
And then 96, 97 happened when they get Hall and Nash, and it really starts to change. But that's the thing is, none of this is new.
But with Ambrose being the first defector... You know, at some point, Vince has to go, son of a bitch. Like,
technically second, but we're going good here.
Who's the first?
Perfect 10, man.
Wow.
Here's a guy that WWE wanted in Ambrose.
It's, right.
If they had it their way, he'd still be on their TV in the top five spot.
I love the fact that he looked at the chairman and goes, I don't care how many zeros you put in that piece of paper. I'm gone either way.
That was my favorite part.
Like, that's great.
When he says he has to sit there and have the conversation with himself, what if they offer me? Like, it's not going to be $10 million. Obviously, that's nonsense money.
I mean, at that point. You don't know.
Are they? What if they offer me some absurd amount of money? And he just goes, "No. What am I going to do with $10 million?"
He's
also a crazy person because I would do literally anything for $10 million.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, like he says, his truck's paid, his house is paid, he's got money in the bank. This is for him now, and I agree with him. You know, I saw a comment on the way in here from Dustin Rhodes go, you know, being in WWE was like a prison, and now I'm free. Dude, you were there for like 20 years.
Yeah, and you went back a bunch of times.
And had the chance to leave and stay left.
Find me a prison that made him the career and the money that, you know, that it did. Put me in jail any day.
I will say there's different ways of looking at it. Yes, it is a great way to make a living. And Ambrose absolutely acknowledged that multiple times. Like, no matter what, I'm living
my
dream.
In his 6 years, he became a multimillionaire.
Yeah. And no matter what, I lived my dream. I got the WWE title. I got to do all those things I always wanted to do. But I can see, especially from someone like Dustin, who is one of the more creative minds, somebody who feels as if it is artistically a prison.
Well, Dustin's just going off the rails anyway. He made a comment after Double or Nothing that Vince better watch his ass. Come on, man.
Okay.
Like, I understand adrenaline's running, stuff like that, but Vince doesn't have to watch anything.
We've talked about this before.
Come on.
Is WWE going to go under like the threat was in the 90s? No. That's not going to
happen.
That's
not a thing.
But I can see business getting spread so thin where they do start to feel it a little.
Sure.
They're
already starting to feel
it. When the XFL fails, when these TV ratings are equal to some new upstart that no one's even seen before.
What was that minor league football team that had like 3 weeks and went out of business?
The AAF?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I think there is room for some sort of football outside of the NFL. I don't think Vince McMahon's going to be able to do it.
No. But what it might give us is a gift of Triple H and WWE.
Because
there's no way in hell he's doing both.
I wonder, like,
if he is, if the product is just going to get worse.
We talk about this bubble, and yes, Hunter is definitely more savvy in terms of the current day, what the fan wants. But is he so ingrained in the bubble that things would ever change if he were to take over?
No. No, Hunter, he's very into pop culture and knows what's going on. He knows what Twitter and social media and all that stuff is. I don't know if Vince actually does.
But that's the thing. I go back to all the stories I heard leading up to eventually Hall and Nash leaving to go form the NWO and WCW. We hear about the Click sitting down with Vince McMahon, making him come to a house show, and they go to a hotel lobby and sit down and talk out, hey man, we need more realistic characters. We need this. We need that.
Is this when the Click went on strike?
It might not have been a strike, but it was.
Yeah, I think this is when the Click went on strike. Like, they weren't going to the next building unless Vince flew.
That's wherever. Yes. They had to come meet him.
Him and Pat.
He had to come meet them.
Him and Pat flew to Indianapolis.
You
got to hear Nash tell the story. It's a great story. Maybe hopefully we can get Nash on one day.
Oh my God!
You got to hear it coming from him.
His
version of it's great.
Now, we're talking about, this is 94, 95 when this happens. 95. They're sitting down with Vince McMahon telling him then, hey, we need, you know, they're basically pitching the Attitude Era to him. And then two of them leave and go form the NWO, and the two that are left form freaking DX. And we get what we get in terms of the best period in wrestling history.
Absolutely.
How is it that, 25 years later, we're having this same conversation, but it also gives me hope because it took a challenge last time for Vince to open his eyes.
Oh, it's an ego thing because look at what he built.
I get it.
Who's going to tell him what's good and what's bad? I built this. I don't think his ego's that big, you know, but it could be. But who's going to tell a billionaire, seriously, what's good for business and what's not?
You mentioned Dustin's comments after the show. What about Jericho's? What did Jericho say?
Jericho's was just as off the rail as well, that their AEW now is a legit contender. which that's a little premature.
I would. They are a legit contender for. I am looking forward to seeing how big this audience actually. How sure. big? You know the audience that us, the Smarks. Well, it's only this many people, and only this many people have the network. Only this many people watch NXT. Only this many people know that Cody Rhodes is, you know, any good at all. I want to know how big this audience actually is, and we're going to find out. It'll grow, and it'll get into the mainstream eventually, but I'm looking forward to the original TV ratings to see how much of WWE's, well, we cater to everybody, pal. It's not just the 19-year-old smarks. Like, all right, let's see how many of this mainstream yeah. exists in 2019.
We're already finding out, in a sense, because Double or Nothing sold out, 100,000 buys on pay-per-view. All Out's going to sell out. And probably yeah. do the same around the same numbers.
But I always wonder, like, how many, like, they're in different places, but how many of the same people are going to all those shows?
That's a
fair
point.
It's a good number, but I don't know.
I don't think
it's not 100,000.
Yeah,
or anything,
I'm looking forward to finding out
right.
if everybody who was at All In is the exact same people who were at MGM Grand for Double or Nothing, who are going to be the exact same people at. I want to know.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out based yeah. on their TV ratings.
Well, yeah. Only people who have the rating gimmick boxes, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a sample,
and that's
know?
A fraction of the audience.
It's a bad sample, but it's the only sampling we get, and we're gonna find out. Okay, if it's
there's other ways to view this thing anymore. Like, just judging by Twitter, are they trending?
Yeah,
you know, how many followers? Facebook, what are they like? What's their social footprint? You know what I mean? It's there's different ways to gauge this thing, and they're not just as attendance and television ratings.
So I want to now, since we're talking about this potential, it's not. I mean, this is not a Monday Night War or anything right away.
And it never will be. It never will.
Well,
be.
If the ratings are the same, it is. If they're pulling the same audience, it's a war.
If they're pulling the same audience, that is what's going to wake Vince up.
Like, say they get 2 million opening night.
That's going to wake the boss up.
Okay. But, now, I know your thoughts on this, and I just want to bring it up because it's hilarious. A former employer of mine, Vince Russo, has a theory that...
Hold on, time out. Former employer
I
of
worked,
yours.
I wrote for his blog for a little bit.
That sucks.
It was, yeah, it was very... It
this
was,
guy's an absolute moron.
He has a theory.
I love this theory. It's my favorite thing out there.
That this AEW-WWE thing is a work, and they are in cahoots, and Vince McMahon is funding the whole thing.
Spike? Is Spike here? This needs to be on Art of the Take pod. This is a ridiculous
song. Russo is very much the guy who just says Skip Bayless stuff just to get Twitter up in arms. He is that guy.
And all the dumb people fell for it, too, because the WWE is a publicly traded company. They were funneling money anywhere to any other company or any other thing. You have to disclose
it. That would be an SEC violation.
To your investors, we would have already known that. One billionaire over here does not need another billionaire over here.
The 1996 landscape of being able to write Paul Heyman checks whenever he needs them
is not quite
the same.
Yeah, that
in
ended in 2001.
Yeah, when they went public.
But they could be advising each other.
I would not be surprised.
Little wink, wink, nudge, nudge type of thing.
Some sort of communication,
not
some back channel communications.
Nope.
But a business deal of sorts?
No. Jericho just burnt the bridge with WWE.
He'll be back.
At some point.
He'll be in the
but
WWE
he's
Hall of
sitting
Fame.
There trashing the company that made him his fortune.
And
so
he'll be
like,
back. That's the best part.
Every single guy
they all go
ever
back.
Has come
but at
back.
The same time.
Except for Macho and Punk.
The only
Punk's
person I believe that's not going to come back in this new thing is Ambrose.
CM Punk will be back. I can't wait for it.
Oh, my God. I just want to see him wrestle again. I just miss the guy.
I just
loved watching him wrestle. He was so good.
I loved all his extras
so
more than watching
wrestling.
Him wrestle, truthfully.
Like... I just loved watching him wrestle. He was a very good wrestler, and I don't know.
He was all right.
He messed some stuff up sometimes, but it was fun.
He was all right.
He could have a great match with anybody.
I don't know if he could have a great match with Turtle.
Listen, I will drop an elbow on CM Punk.
He had Undertaker's last great match.
Yeah, what year was that? That was the year he got all pissed off that he wasn't in the main event.
Yeah.
That was like the final... That was like the year
That was
the year
leading
before he walked
up to
out.
His final year, yeah.
That was... Mania before the Rumble, and then he walked out before
his last
before
night
the
was
next
that
Mania
Rumble.
Yeah.
the Rumble following that main.
That was one in Philadelphia, right?
No. His last one was in Pittsburgh when the crowd turned on Batista. Was Punk's last night.
Okay. I thought it was the Philly. Same one where Philly turned on Roman Reigns.
That was the year after.
The year after.
Yeah. All right. The AEW, WWE in cahoots thing. It's fun.
Had to bring
Twitter
the rock
nonsense.
Out. Hopefully he getting not booed. And he still
they
got
still
booed.
Booed him.
Yeah, well.
It was the first and only time I've ever booed The Rock. It was great.
That's awesome.
Get your ass out of here.
And that didn't wake Vince up at the time?
Yeah. Yeah, The Rock got booed.
Like, are you
rock
kidding me?
The Rock got booed.
Philadelphia booed The Rock.
In one of the towns that you always, like Bruce Pritchard says on his show all the time, it's not New York, but it's one of the towns we listen to and go, okay, this is what the audience thinks. Like,
this is one of like the 10 towns that made The Rock who he is.
Yep.
And we booed him out of the Wells Fargo Center.
I was literally on the floor for that show. And it was a deafening boo.
It
and wasn't just a like.
It was one of the worst reactions I've ever heard to anything.
And it didn't wake the boss up.
No. It was, no, we're going to double down on this.
That music came on, and not one person cheered.
All right, so.
It's great.
Real quick, TakeOver 25 reactions, who saw the show?
It was pretty darn good.
It was good. Man.
NXT is good, man.
NXT is a great product. I love NXT. Man, there's just something about. I think Johnny Gargano is great. I think Adam Cole is great. That match was like 50% awesome and 50% everything that annoys me about modern wrestling.
I think WWE should leave AEW alone, but if they really, really wanted to mess around with AEW, they would ramp up the NXT brand.
Yes.
And start running pay-per-views or takeovers against AEW pay-per-views.
Because this was the first standalone and it did fine.
You're going to charge somebody $50 to watch it, or you're going to watch this on the network?
Yep.
Like, so if they really wanted to play around, they could. If they really wanted to hurt them, they could. I think they should stay away because...
You're poking the bear?
Well, yeah. I mean, now it's just to see who has the bigger rod, right? Because you have one billionaire here and one billionaire here, and let's just see who has the bigger bank account.
And there's one... Like I said,
and not for nothing, Tony Khan has the bigger
Dustin. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sure.
The Dustin and Jericho comments are, you know, I think it's more just playing to your audience because the audience, the real diehard people who are already all in, you know, pun intended, on AEW, want to hear we're going to war. Like,
no,
Tony Khan knows that that's nonsense to say we're going to try to take down WWE right away.
As he should. He's a smart businessman.
The people who are all about, oh, the Young Bucks are the best thing in wrestling and Jim Cornette can kill himself. Like, those people want to hear we're going to war with WWE.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen right away, but in terms of successful business, no. In terms of TV ratings and the audience, it can happen.
Vince needs to understand that he was at his best when he had competition.
Yeah.
And if he just lets this go and lets this be what it is and let somebody try to test him a bit and force him to become a better product, the industry is better for it overall.
Definitely.
Vince's problem is Vince doesn't see himself as wrestling.
No. And that's
AEW sees themselves as wrestling, and that's fine. Vince sees himself as this own industry that he created called sports entertainment. And he's
sports entertainment enthusiasts. Come check this out.
And he's,
oh my God.
And he's the king of that mountain. However, at some point, he's got to realize the mass exodus that people are looking for an alternative.
And that's, speaking of, I just want to go back to TakeOver real quick. Again, I enjoyed the show. The main event, just 50% great, 50% annoying. Tyler Breeze, Velveteen Dream. It blows my mind that they can't make these two stars.
Velveteen Dream just hasn't been given his shot.
Yeah, Velveteen Dream hasn't been given his shot. But
I personally voted for him to end Kurt Angle's career at WrestleMania.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, in terms of just guys working their characters to put on a match, I enjoyed Dream and Breeze far more than Gargano and Cole. And Cole was fine. There's just some little stuff in there that it's everything that annoys me about modern wrestling. Anyone going to watch Super Showdown?
I mean, I'll be here tomorrow, so no.
That's the Saudi Arabia one?
Yeah. Jeddah. We're not allowed to say Saudi Arabia. No one's going to Google Jeddah and then find out it's in Saudi Arabia.
I thought it was a town that began with an R.
No, this one's in Jeddah, I think.
God.
You're not super pumped for old ass Goldberg to face old ass Undertaker again?
Oh my God. No. I saw that on, I watched Raw on mute last night and saw the Undertaker and I was just like, why are we still doing this?
It's killing my favorite character of all time.
I agree.
Destroying him.
I agree.
It's just, I wish he would just disappear and never
Seeing
come back.
Seeing the dead man, quote unquote, literally look like he's dying in the ring. Is
he looks so
horrific.
He looks like he's as old as Vince.
Yeah,
the way he looks all sunken and like he looks as old as Vince.
His chest is caving in. Yeah. His hair is all gone. Like
I just don't want to see this.
Come back as the fucking American. Come back as the American badass, please.
Just don't come back.
No, don't come back.
Well, just go away. It's fine.
Oh, I got a little news for you guys.
Oh, let's hear it.
I forgot. Leo Rush blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, so much for the Is Kevin Blocked segment or not?
I was so, well,
is this because we accidentally he listened to the show we accidentally tweeted a couple weeks ago?
By the way, she's rediscovered herself if you saw her recent Instagram post.
Yeah, great. I don't know.
Mercedes is back for her.
MCW posted something on Twitter and like they quoted Leah Rush, so I couldn't see the tweet and I was like, oh, is this it? And then I clicked on the thing, it said, you have been blocked from viewing these posts. And I was like, yes! Success. Leo Rush sucks.
Is he fired?
No, he's still under contract.
He's going back to NXT from what the dirt sheets have been saying.
All right. It's a shame because the dude's a good performer. He just...
Great performer.
Man.
Great performer.
His best asset in the ring is his worst asset outside the ring.
Correct.
He doesn't shut the hell up.
Yeah, he just has no idea. He just has no idea how to do business.
That's a... Man, it's crazy how many people asshole themselves out of this business.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could have made it. Sure, yeah. You'd be one of our better light heavyweights, but... Yeah, you're going back to NXT. Yeah.
One thing that bothered me about AEW, I want to ask you both it. The post-match scrums bothered the hell out of me.
What do you mean?
Like, they interviewed them both all post-match. Like, media were around, almost as if you were talking to Doug Peterson.
Yeah,
or
I like
Gabe
that.
Kapler.
I like that.
I find that insanely stupid.
It's a different approach.
I like any... Because we always hear, you know, anyone...
No, you find that stupid when we get media credentialed for it?
Yes.
You can stay home then.
Yeah. Like when you talk about Bischoff or anybody who was running against WWE back in the day, the idea was do it differently.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing, if they're doing A, we're doing B. I like the idea of any sort of different presentation. I like the six-sided ring in TNA.
I didn't mind that.
That's different. It's they have a four-sided ring. We have six.
Hunter does a post takeover media conference call. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
But there's a difference. And listen, I'm not crapping on the sport of entertainment, of WWE, of AEW, of wrestling. But if you're going to have legitimate reporters, not like WWE style reporters.
Legitimate reporters. They are legitimate reporters.
Hey, so why'd you take the loss in this match tonight?
People know what this is, man. It's not... They're not asking about wins and losses. They know what this is.
Well, per AEW, wins and losses matter.
Okay, but that's how
they're going to tell stories.
That's how they're
going to
present it.
I hope so.
That's how they're going to present it on their television show. As far as media, like... It's fine. It's just a different way of doing it. It's fine. You know, you get Tony Khan who's willing to do media. You don't get Vince McMahon doing it.
Khan is fine.
That was one of Wade Keller's big things. He was like, it was so nice having, like, being spoken to by, you know, a wrestling promoter as if he is just another human being as well.
That's an
untouchable deity. Like,
all right, well,
McMahon.
Do you like it or do you not?
No,
like, you can't have it both ways.
I don't need a post-match scrum talking about how the guys lost a match of a predetermined thing.
Find me the interview that they did that.
Every single one, essentially.
No one came up to Cody Rhodes and said, oh, that was a great win. That didn't happen.
It essentially did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
They asked all these guys about the events that led up to it, what's going to happen after. Talk to us about the business. That's what happened. The people that they credential for know what the wrestling business is.
It's fine. And if it evolves to that, I took a whole different meaning from it. But what I did like is their two-tunneled entrance ramp, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Very old Impact TNA.
Yeah, I think Lucha Underground did something like that. Like, you could come out, like, the heels came out of one side and faces out of another, something like that.
Very cool setup.
I just enjoy, and no matter what, Ambrose still comes out of the crowd.
Well, sure.
Two entrances, cool. He comes from the crowd. Oh, I am real excited to see where this goes. And
I love that nobody knew he was there.
Yeah, I like that.
Even JR said he had no clue.
JR said that he was not clued in on that. Yeah, they didn't tell anybody except for the people involved.
I very much like JR. I think he did a fine job the entire time. I think it's a bit over his time, but that's beside the point. His reaction there was classic JR.
Hearing him in New Japan, I was like, ooh, I'm all good on JR. But it's nice to hear him kind of back in his element.
But right there, that Moxley thing was classic JR. The, oh my God! God. Like, yeah. That was great.
But I'm real excited to see where AEW goes, and I'm just excited to think that this could be, like, the precipice of the business changing. I don't need WWE to be taken down. No. I need WWE.
And they never will.
I need WWE to become good again. Like, I'm wearing a World Wrestling Entertainment shirt right now. I am a wrestling fan. I want the thing I spend all this time talking about and doing to
and
be
money.
Good. Yeah, and money and all this. And I think this is the best chance. I think AEW could change the business. And Ambrose, it's another thing he talked about was, man, I could have gone full indie. I could have done whatever. I could have had any sort of deal I wanted out there. And then I started talking to Cody and the Bucks about what it's going to be. And I was like, chance to change the business.
It's
done.
It's very simple, guys. AEW doesn't have to be better. They just have to be different.
And so far, so good. We're gonna be a lot more about AEW as this goes in, because honestly, it's painful watching WWE right now.
It's very painful.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with AEW, and I think this show could evolve into AEW-centric at some point.
We're going to definitely see.
Yeah, we will absolutely see, but that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Leave us those good reviews. Give us those 5 stars. Pretend we're in the Tokyo Dome. Have a great week, everybody.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.